Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
To know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour black hole block party. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Toronto to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air. And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. We are with you on a Memorial Day, which is an important day to remember. It's not just a day off of work or of school, but a day to remember those who we've lost in the armed forces. So certainly we here on the DA show want to send our thoughts and our remembrances to those that we have lost. It's an honor and a privilege to be working on a day like today. And so that's why we're here. Today's show will have Hector Ledesma. He's going to join us, good friend of mine from San Antonio. He's been covering the Spurs for a long time. He's working at the Ticket, and he's going to join us on this Chris Paul to San Antonio rumors that have been percolating over the last couple of days. So we'll do that coming up here next hour on the show. LaVar Ball is once again in the crosshairs. This not for something he said about his big baller brand, but instead what he said to players on the floor. We'll also discuss how Raider Nation is refusing to die. And tonight, Smashville and Pittsburgh, the flightless birds and the saber-toothed tigers, go at it for game one of the Stanley Cup Final. As always, if you guys want to get involved in the show, happy to have you join in, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Also, hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. On Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheDAShow. And today, we've got, as always, the digital broadcast going on, so you can watch it on your computer if you head into work right now, or if you're on your phone, it's mobile friendly as well, or on your tablet, hanging out, maybe with a day off, you can do that as well. Go to watchda.com. NBA Finals start up on Thursday, and already we're starting to hear the animosity between these two teams. I mean, right now it's nothing crazy, but I thought Kevin Love had some very interesting commentary over the weekend. You know, going into the series, the public perception is that the Cavaliers are playing good basketball, but it's just no match for what the Warriors are. That Golden State is refocused after last year. Golden State is clearly better, having added Kevin Durant. And the Warriors didn't lose in the playoffs and never really were challenged in any of those games except for the game one when Kawhi Leonard got injured. So what is there to make us believe that the Cavaliers can even make this a series, let alone come out with the championship? And Kevin Love had an interesting point. And Kevin Love's not usually the guy that is trash-talking or puffing out his chest. But you know what? In this case, I'm liking what he's selling. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
LeBron up near the timeline. Works on Smart. Heads to his left. Deals the Love right corner. Catch and shoot three. Hey! down, and he got knocked down by the on-charging Horford. Nothing called. The Cavs have taken a 101-92 lead.
The whole underdog thing is funny to me because, yeah, at the end of the day, we are defending our title when we're trying to repeat, which is so hard to do. I don't feel like we're underdogs. I think we match up well with them, and I think they say the same about us.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So it's an interesting point by K-Love. Yeah, we're the underdogs, but we're the defending champions because we beat this team last year. And it's funny how easily we let that slip away from what we expect in this series. We just expect, largely, I mean, certainly there are Cavaliers fans that believe the Cavaliers are going to win, but largely, we just assume, well, the Warriors are better because they've added Kevin Durant. And so, last year was this close, and I'm holding my thumb and forefinger just inches apart, this close. One way or the other, that's how even it was. But when you add Kevin Durant to one side of that close, it obviously becomes a lot more of a discrepancy. And so, automatically, it's got to be the Warriors in five. And I'll be perfectly honest, I think the series goes something like this. Warriors in five or Warriors in six, but we have a lot of really competitive games. But ultimately, the last shot, final couple of shots, and overtime here or there is going to go to the Warriors because of a little bit more firepower. And that maybe there's even a game in there where the Warriors or a game or two win by 20. You know, the Warriors might end up eking out a game one victory at home, even in overtime. Then maybe there's a blowout in game two where the Warriors win by 20. Then in game three, back in Cleveland, the Cavs fight their tails off, you know, and then eke out a victory for the Cavs. But then it comes back and the Warriors make a big shot late. And then they get game four in Cleveland and then come back in game five and win by 20 or something like that. And you go, wow, it was Warriors in five, but it was a much closer series because of all of the intrigue during those games. Maybe, yet it might have two blowouts in it because that's how much firepower, how much weaponry the Warriors bring to the table. But I say this, and we all say this, thinking that the Warriors might cruise without actually knowing because there is no evidence yet. Here's one thing we know. LeBron's going to ball out, and they're not going to be able to stop him. There's not going to be games where LeBron shoots for 2 of 11. You're not going to get an 11-point game out of LeBron like we saw in the Eastern Finals. LeBron's greatest moments ever have arguably come in the last two NBA finals. Arguably the two greatest individual performances in NBA finals history has happened in the last 2 years via LeBron. You could argue that the greatest singular performance in NBA finals history went to LeBron in 2015 in a losing effort, that nobody had ever done that much with that little against that much. So the idea that somehow LeBron's going to shrink from this situation is silly. It's nonsensical. There's no evidence to back that up. All of the evidence, and it's overwhelming, is that he's going to be the one, the absolute guarantee, that steps up and goes for 33 and 12 and 8 every single night. The question is the rest of those guys. But as Kevin Love mentioned, this is a bit of a secret X factor. That the Cavaliers are the underdogs despite having the secret sauce to beat them. They've beaten them already. Now I realize last year's final swung on a day where Draymond Green was suspended. And if we assume he's not stupid enough to get suspended again, it's going to be all hands on deck. And you take Andrew Bogut out, but you bring in Zaza Pachulia. And is there really this kind of big differential in terms of the guys that they lost off the bench? Not really. And so I think that the Warriors, we all know, are extremely talented, They're playing really well together. They're much better defensively than the Cavaliers. They've added Kevin Durant. And even despite no Steve Kerr potentially, are a total bear to try to beat down. But where would you rather be positioned? Think about how perfect this is for Cleveland. They are positioned as the no-chance, can't-beat-them, overwhelming underdog, despite defending the title. Having the championship in their pocket, having a banner hang above them at Quicken Loans, and having beaten this very team last year, although notably without Kevin Durant. I think that's a cool thing that the Cavaliers have to draw from. It's a great position to be in because you can use the, they don't believe in us, nobody believes in us, nobody thinks we can win, even though they know within themselves they can win because they did win last year. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. It is funny. I think Kevin Love actually has a really good point. It's funny to the Cavaliers that they're such overwhelming underdogs when they're the defending champions. They beat them last year. We get sometimes really caught up in the here and the now, and we kind of talk ourselves into these things that we say can't happen or absolutely will happen. And that is happening with this series. People saying, well, the Cavaliers can't defend and beat all of those weapons. And that the Warriors will definitely win this series because they are so talented and they are so out for revenge and they're going to be better than last year. But what we fail to factor in is all of that intangible stuff that came to play last year. I mean, the Cavaliers, lifted up by this incredible individual performance by LeBron, all rose to the occasion. That backs against the wall, this chemistry of the Cavaliers came together. That despite being down 3-1, LeBron said, well, why are we going to end it at home? Let's at least have to make them fly back out to Golden State, or let's at least come back home to Cleveland for a game 6. Let's at least do that. So let's at least win game 5 to come back to Cleveland because we got to fly home anyway at some point in time. We might as well fly home for a game. And game 5 flipped. And then game 6 flipped. And once we got to a game 7, the pressure had been shifted on the Warriors. What happens if something like that happens where Cleveland takes game 1 in Golden State? And now the pressure has shifted all on Golden State. Well, now you got to get game 2. Or maybe it's, oh my goodness, they got a split. Now they get to come home. You know, you don't really know how it will unfold. And yet we all kind of are so adamant in our perspective of, oh, this can't happen or this will happen. When there's a lot of unknowns and a lot of gray areas and a lot of chemistry and tangible X factor type of stuff that you just simply can't know. And it happened last year. And hell, it almost happened in year 1 of this trilogy without Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving in there. All right, we'll get into your phone calls coming up here. Jump into that, plus your tweets, DA on CBS. Also, LeVar Ball continues to be LeVar Ball. And a video surfaced this weekend where he has taken a lot of heat and a lot of people laughing and crushing him yet again. Luckily, this is on the basketball floor because I'm sick about talking about his stupid T-shirts and sneakers and all that. And I wonder if the damage has already been done.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, D.A.
It was hot TV, my friend. It was hot. It was good.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Hot TV usually is good. Welcome back. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And Doing More is brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. With everything that you need to do projects smarter, the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. How about Jameson Taillon? How about operating table procedure, testicular cancer, not long ago, in fact, less than 3 weeks ago. And on Sunday afternoon, He was back on a baseball mound. 29 of his 47 pitches, strikes over three innings, throwing all four of his offerings, mixing four-seam, two-seam fastballs, curveballs, changeups, and his Double-A Altoona squad edging Erie on the road 3-2. Nice job and an amazing story coming all the way back from that and back out of the baseball diamond. You can always lock us in by hitting us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up next hour on the show, Hector Ledesma is going to join us, my friend from San Antonio, been covering the Spurs for a long time, and we'll get his thoughts on what the reality is with these rumors surrounding Chris Paul to San Antonio. Is it legit? Is it realistic? Or is this just nonsense? So over the weekend, a video went viral of LaVar Ball screaming and making a big deal with his AAU team. Yes, as you might imagine, that's exactly what the world of youth athletics needs, LaVar Ball coaching. And in this game, he's obviously very upset, and he's trying to root on the charges. He's trying to get the players, get the kids to wake up because they're losing by 50. His AAU squad ended up losing by 52 points. And so this video of him yelling at his players has become quite the viral sensation because a lot of people are enjoying laughing at him. We're going to play that audio coming up for you next segment as part of Soundcheck. And most people, I hope, understand that this, if you dislike him, it should not filter down to his kids. Because his kids have yet to do anything that deserves that type of scorn. I realize the young one in high school that went for 92 points, he didn't get back on defense. It was cherry picking offensively. But you know what? A lot of high school kids don't get back on defense. The kids that do score 90 points or 100 points in a high school game, a lot of them do just simply sit back, wait for outlet passes, or just hoist from 3 points. So I don't know if that's necessarily reason. I feel like it's assumed, it's an extension of LaVar that, well, of course, this kid doesn't care about being a good teammate. He just wants to get a scoring record. He just wants to get his. He just wants the headlines because, of course, that would be LaVar's son. But here's why I hesitate on something like that is because I have seen nothing from Lonzo, who's going to be drafted certainly in the top three coming up here in the draft next month, to lead me to believe that the kids are jerks. I don't know, obviously, the two youngest ones because we haven't seen them in the spotlight like Lonzo. But Lonzo himself is not shown to be any type of uncoachable kid, bad teammate, disrespectful to opponents. That's all his dad. So I'm waiting and hoping that the kids are actually well-adjusted, fine kids. I've got no reason to believe that Lonzo's not yet. And it's just their dad is a carnival barker and doesn't mind being kind of a pig in a lot of ways. He just doesn't mind being a pig in terms of respect towards others, respect towards elders, respect towards women, respect towards people that disagree with him. I mean, that's the thing. People say he's sexist, he's misogynistic, and all this type of stuff. Well, he's everything. He's just disrespectful to everybody. That's his bit. That's his card. So I haven't seen this from his kids, but we know that that's who LaVar is. We know this. Unless this is the greatest act in mankind, and he's a tremendously generous, warm human being that's sympathetic and totally respectful and is just playing this act, but I don't believe that because I don't think anybody's that good at acting. But with this video, two things happened. Number one, Yeah, people laughed at LeVar. Ah, ha, 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 his team is losing. Look at him getting all upset. But number two, people wanted his kids to lose by 52. That's an AAU basketball team. Have you ever had a rooting interest in a bunch of 16-year-olds? Unless they were your 16-year-olds. Could you imagine having a rooting interest in a 16-year-old AAU team that you have no connection to, that you don't live anywhere close to, that your kid does not play on, or your grandkid or your cousin or your niece or nephew? Could you imagine having no literal tie to a 16-year-old's AAU team and wanting them to get beat by 52, and then when they do, laughing? That's what's happening. And on top of that, his son in that game was so bad that somebody made a mashup cut-up video of all of his air balls and missed shots and bad decisions, all of his mistakes, and put it out there on social media for everybody to retweet, for everybody to laugh at, for everybody to sneer and giggle at. The damage is being done by LeVar already, and it has nothing to do with how many shoes are sold, how many T-shirts are sold. The damage is done is that it is now what LeVar has said and been. It is appealing to our worst interests as people, as humans. We are rooting for kids to be embarrassed. We are rooting for kids to fail. And when they are failing, we are laughing. They are kids. Again, I don't root for or against Lonzo Ball because he hasn't done anything to make me upset. I don't root against LaMelo. I don't root against any of the Ball kids. And seeing his kids throw up air balls doesn't make me feel any better. To me, it's just LeVar who's an obnoxious pig. But I'm not going to take that out on the kids. But others already are, and it says so much about the damage he has already done. That dude, one of his kids could be 16 and shooting an air ball, and it's getting cut up and mashed up into a lowlight reel and retweeted a billion times so that people can say, ha, 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 your kid sucks, and he got beat by 52 points. Whoa, it's a dark place, but you know what? When you peddle darkness, you get darkness back. That's how people pay you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When you peddle disrespect, people revel in disrespecting you and everything about you. When we return, a little sound check, and so we'll hear this audio of LeVar going off on his son's AAU team during their 52-point loss. Also, you've got to hear the Japanese announcers call the Indy 500 win. This is fantastic.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
I'd like to call you George Jefferson. I told you, you're moving up.
D.A.
We're going to have a night in the day.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points that you earn. It's fast. It's easy. It's free only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Glad you're with us. Thanks so much for joining us. Hopefully you guys have a safe and happy long holiday weekend. Privilege and honor to be working today on Memorial Day, an important day for us here in this country to remember those that we have lost in the armed forces. Coming up next hour on the show, my friend Hector Ledesma on the legitimacy of these Chris Paul to San Antonio rumors, specifically talking about Chris Paul to San Antonio. I don't think it's going to happen because I think that Chris Paul is not going to leave $60 million on the table, and I don't blame him for that. But I also think it's going to be difficult for him to leave that on the table, considering he is the NBA Players Association president helping push for that type of deal for the players. He's helping push forward the types of deals that the NBA wants so that players stay at home, so that teams retain their best talent, so that there is not an abundance of super teams, or even just one or two super teams. But that being said, whether Chris Paul leaves for San Antonio or not, it almost still feels like it doesn't matter. That he could leave for San Antonio, and that Chris Paul, Kawhi Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Greg Popovich still might not be good enough to give the Warriors real run. But then again, we didn't see the real Spurs because they didn't have Kawhi. And I've got to feel like if they had a healthy Kawhi, they don't win that series, but they win two games of that series. I think that's the way it would have went down. With Kawhi healthy, they win that game one on the road. And yes, maybe part of that is Golden State being very, very rusty, maybe not completely locked in, extraordinarily sloppy, but it's still a road victory. And I think San Antonio gets at least one of those games at home. I think it would have ended up in six, and that does mean it would have been Warriors in six on the road in San Antonio. So who knows? Maybe it would have pushed seven. But a healthy Kawhi Leonard would not have changed the outcome of the series in my mind. It definitely would have changed the complexion of that series, though. And so with a healthy Kawhi, and I don't really factor in the loss of Tony Parker, because if you watch the Spurs this year, Tony Parker was not very good. If you added Chris Paul and a healthy Kawhi to the Spurs, you're going, well, DA, if you're telling me that in the Western Finals a healthy Kawhi could have pushed them to six, then you add Chris Paul, hell yeah, they might be able to beat him. The only problem is, by adding Chris Paul, you've got to lop off basically everyone on the roster for the Spurs. To clear that $30 million, it's everybody. And you still need those role players on that bench to help supplement your starting five. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It's time for Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Yesterday was history as Indy's 500 goes to Japan. Here's the Japanese announcers calling the historic victory.
Stop!
How great is that call? That is the Japanese announcers going crazy for Takuma Sato's Indy 500 victory. Pretty cool. On the other end of the spectrum of from really cool to really dumb, Alexander Gustafsson proposing to his girlfriend. This is a UFC fighter in the ring after the fight, and not exactly the most romantic way to propose.
I love you, and thanks for having a kid, a baby. I love you with all my heart, and do you want to marry me?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a sucker for a good love story as much as anybody, but is that where the bar is? Thanks for having my kid. Want to marry me? It's pretty cool that you were able to birth my child. Want to marry me? It's great. I mean, we got together. I had the X chromosome, you had the Y chromosome, or vice versa, and we got together. Then we, like, had this baby. Then it, like, was gestating in your stomach. And then, like, you had it. And I was thinking, like, that's cool. Want to marry me?
Do you want to marry me?
So I was just, like, kicking around some thoughts. And I was just thinking about how cool it is that you had my baby. And then I was like, maybe we should get married. Can I hear that whole thing again? I think that if this is where the bar is set, my job when I eventually propose is now set. Oh, this is going to be great. Like, I only have to walk over this bar.
I love you, and thanks for having a kid, a baby. I love you with all my heart. And do you want to marry me?
Now, he did say I love you twice in that, so that's good. I love you, and I love you with all my heart. So those are good things. That's a good way to bracket it. But just, like, thanks for having my kid. A baby. Now we know how a human being is developed. We understand that it doesn't come out as like a teenager. Thanks for having a kid.
Thanks for having a kid.
You know, that middle-aged man that you birthed. That was awesome. I don't know how you pulled that one off. I don't know how you had the room in your stomach for that. Oh, it was a baby, right? It was a baby. So thanks for having that kid. My kid was a baby kid. That was awesome. And then, I love you, by the way. He's like checking off this mental checklist. Okay, God and I love you. Oh, all my heart, right? I need that. Then gratitude for the child. And then, will you marry me?
Do you want to marry me?
Hey, thanks for having my kid. That was really cool. Thanks for having that kid. That whole kid thing was cool. And then here is the audio of LeVar Ball going off on his son's AAU team, as they lost by 52 points, 109-57, to Compton Magic.
When y'all get in the hole, you start throwing the ball to try to get more shots. Leak out so we get some quick down. We got to take the ball out down here every single time. Throw the ball low. Quick throw it in the way. Play some defense. Quick round about getting dunked on. Pass through the shit every time. I don't know why. Quick get no layups and dunk some.
Interesting. You're not hungry. When you play basketball, you play for entertainment, and 25 points is not entertainment. I guess that kind of suggests exactly who LeVar Ball is. When you play basketball, it's for entertainment. Be entertaining. It's really not about, like, teamwork, sportsmanship, helping your team, learning lessons. It's about entertainment here, guys. It's all entertainment. Start entertaining people. 25 points is not entertainment. Getting beaten by 50 is not entertainment.
25 points is not entertainment.
You got to be hungry. You got to be hungry for attention. You got to be starving for attention. You have to be needing attention to live every step of the way. Look at me. I'm the perfect example of just desperately seeking entertainment and attention. Look how far it's gotten me. And that is your sound check. Takuma Sato becoming the first Japanese winner of the Indy 500, as we played that audio for you before, denying Elio Crestro Neves a record-tying fourth victory as they traded the lead in the closing laps. Pretty cool race at the end. And it was a historic victory, obviously. Sato's victory gave the Andretti's a second consecutive win. An Andretti driver has now won the 500 three times in the past 4 years and five times overall, going back to 05 with the late Dan Weldon. How great was that call? Bruce is next up in D.C. My man's on 1580, listening on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Bruce. Oh, Brucey Bruce, you there, buddy?
I am the epic fail.
I know Bruce is locked in, so Bruce, I'll let you jump back in and say hello when you want. So hit us back up because I think you got zapped. Robert tweets, in DA, it's the first time I've been able to listen since you bailed on us night owls. When do the dancing girls come back?
She's a bad girl, David.
Not sure when the bosses will allow us to have the dancing girls here in studio during the daytime hours. No, seriously, we never had dancing girls at night. But it does have to be a little bit more professional is what I've learned. We were doing overnights when we first launched CBS Sports Radio back in January 2013. They hired me specifically to be the overnight host, and Mraz was my producer, okay?
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
And at that point in time, we basically were allowed to get away with anything because none of the bosses were listening. We were on 2 a.m. until 6 a.m. Eastern time. So truly the overnight hours, and the bosses didn't hear a word of it. I think as long as we didn't get FCC violations, as long as there weren't affiliates or listeners or program directors calling up and saying this overnight show did this or did that or did this and this was terrible and they were off the air here or that, that was okay. As long as we didn't blow up the Death Star, we were okay. And then they moved us to evenings where they listened a little bit more. And so we had to be a little bit more professional, just a little bit. But okay, we still got away with a lot. And then we moved to this time slot, and they never said, don't do this, don't do that. Never said, you can't bring this from the nights. We've brought basically all the toys over, the entire toy box, but the difference is now I know. Oh, boy, I got meetings. Now I got meetings. Because they're in studio, they're in the office every minute that I'm in the office, and that's not a good thing. I could slip in after they were done with work, do a quirky radio show at night, and then slip out and they were in bed. Or I was at work when they were sleeping, and I left work when they were sleeping, and that was even better. Now, yeah, DA, meeting at noon after the show. DA, we got a meeting coming up at 12:30. Meeting at 1:30, can you stick around? Yeah. Got it.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
But we've got dancing girls, yeah, hypothetically, all the time. I mean, it's an imaginary spaceship. All right, Bruce is back with us. What's up, Brucey?
Hey, how you doing, DA?
Good, my man. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Well, you know, DA, I know you're talking about that Cleveland championship, but DA, that was a bit of a stretch that when you start putting that Cleveland team and talking about it was like the 2004 Red Sox.
That was last week I was saying that it was a historic victory for the city. Yeah, how is that different from, say, the 04 Red Sox?
Come on, DA. This is not as huge as the 04 Red Sox and different other teams that won some championships.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, this is a city that was 0 for 50 years. Every team had lost a championship since 1964.
Right.
So how is that different than one baseball team that was 86 years, but they had all the other teams win championships?
Well, I just thought it was just more of a there was just so many antics in that championship last year to where it's hard pressed for me to really give them the but then I think about it sometimes, like you say, they were a little short staffed and everything.
Both I don't get it. So you are saying that the Cavs championship last year was not momentous or wasn't impressive to you because there were so many antics?
kinda sorta.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? You're not. It's not a valid championship to you? Meantime, the 04 Red Sox had Manny Ramirez on three different types of horse steroids, and that was totally legit to you?
who else did you compare that championship to? You said the 04 Red Sox, and you said a few other people that kind of like had me scratching for a little bit.
Well, I forget exactly what team I brought up, but my point was last year that Kevin Love sacrificing to be a smaller part of a better team was better for him in the long run, because when you're part of an epic championship like that, the first team to bring Cleveland a championship since 1964, you will live forever. You will be immortal. Your life is taken care of forever. So I think I brought up the 72 Dolphins, and then I brought up that 04 Red Sox team and this last year's Chicago Cubs team. Those guys will live forever, just like everybody on that Cavs team last year will live forever, because that was the first.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.